F1, number 7A.
Now, we have seen from which standpoint Hosea is delivering his message and what aspect of the Christ he is presenting and with which aspect he's dealing. And it is a definite and defined aspect, namely purely this very point where he shows that God has an idea of good, has an idea, that God manifests this idea always under all circumstances, and that this idea is good, and that against that everything breaks down. That's the only thing. You see, he shows therefore, now we come to our matrix, he shows therefore that in the focus of his prophecy stands the power of God, which says, I am God, and I am only good, and my intention is to bring out always good, and my intention is that nothing else succeeds. That nothing else can succeed, can survive, can last. Everything breaks down at my law. Just a moment. So, we have defined, you see, the first standpoint in the matrix. The monopotency of God, good, you see, showing that there is only one power. Doesn't just show that God is power bringing out good, but it shows something more. It says it's the only power. Because I show you, says Hosea, I show you that against this power of God, nothing else can succeed, can survive, can exist, can stand. Against that one power, mono means one, you see, only, against that one and only power of God, good, nothing else can exist and succeed. Now we have found the standpoint of Hosea. What then do the subjects, the seven subjects in the world order? They only embellish this standpoint. See, they elaborate, or we would say develop, that standpoint, but only that standpoint. Therefore, instead of taking in the matrix the term God, the monopotency of God, good, and showing its intention to bring out but good, and to prevent and disprove evil, instead of the term God, we just now can put the term mind, and then spirit, and then soul, and then principle, and then life, and truth, and love. But all the seven show fundamentally the same, namely the same standpoint there of the Word as the Word. Under the roof of the Christ. We never forget that, huh? Under the roof of the Christ. Because it's always, it isn't the pure Word as the Word that Hosea presents, not at all. It's the Christ, but in its first aspect of the Word as the Word. Where the Christ says, the roof says, I am the Christ to every situation. And I am the only Christ, and I translate myself to every situation. But how? And why? And what for? That's the question. These questions are answered through the 16 standpoints. And so the first standpoint, the statement, the world is a statement, The statement first comes and says, well, it is because that Christ, that roof category, that Christ, is the only power of God's good. So often you know how Mrs. Eddy combines the Christ with good. The only power of God's good and works itself through you, here at once the Christ, and works itself through us, the idea of God. So that everything else just breaks down before that. So, really, if we would now summarize Hosea's message, we just could always take the same stereotyped epitome of the standpoint of the Word of the Word and just elaborate it by putting instead of the term God, the seven synonymous terms, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. What he therefore says in his language, he says, you see, first, the first subject, mind manifests itself always as a good, true creation. He said, my creation is infinite, numberless, it's my people, and it's merciful. And everything which does not start from this standpoint is smashed to pieces. Therefore, that creation of Gomer, those three children, which are not my people, all that crashes at the law of mind. Then you come to the second subject. Again, he shows spirit always manifests its own idea as infinite substance. It gives you the vine and the fig tree and the corn and the flax and all that thing. It gives you infinite substance and it manifests infinite substance. And everything else which does not come from spirit has no substance. It's substanceless. It's taken away. There was all that famine in the land. So the third one is where Hosea says, well, God is soul. And soul has a Christ. And so soul always manifests itself as the idea of soul. And always says, I have my good, true representative. I always love my idea as God loves his children. I have my true identity. And under this law of the Christ, everything which does not start with soul is crushed to pieces. The false kings, the false representatives, the false children, the false priests, all they were doomed. So he went on to the fourth, to principle, and showed principle always has the power to manifest itself as a principled idea, namely as always interpreting into our heart the law of principle. And under this law, everything crushes which does not start with principle. All those who had said, I can do it without God, without his law, without his covenant, who went out from a personal standpoint, were crushed. Everything that goes out from a personal standpoint crushes. So he went on, you see, it's always the same stereotyped law, which says in life, life says, I am the only power God good, and therefore I always manifest myself as abundance of being. And shows how it just comes on you as the rain, a blessing like the rain. And he says, and on this ever flow of life, everything crashes which doesn't go with that flow of life. And there will be utter lack. And we had all that which showed that utter lack is spreading over Israel. Then there's the sixth subject again, the same thing. See, that you would say, well, truth has an idea. So truth always manifests its own idea, because it has a Christ, you see. Always manifests its own idea. What is it? It always establishes manhood. It always brings Israel out of Egypt. It always binds men with bonds of love to God. It always is the Savior, and there is no Savior beside that for men. And against this law, everything crashes, he says, which starts with rebellion against law, against truth. Those who were rebellions, he said, they destroyed themselves. And finally, in love, he shows that love always has an idea and never loses sight of loveliness, and therefore loves us freely, unconditionally, uninterruptedly. And against that, he shows everything false and is smashed to pieces, which does not start from that point, from love, but with iniquity. You are fallen by your own iniquity, he says. So, in that way, we begin to see the law of Hosea. See now how simple this prophecy becomes. Out of the vastness of symbolism and doom and destruction and I don't know what everything which could frighten a reader, we have now, through proper analysis, found out that he has quite a simple message, a unique message, a simple message, and that he develops. You remember in Oxford?
Yes.
Oh, yes. You know, in Oxford, the first time I was speaking about development, I said, developing. So some people didn't understand it, and afterwards they asked each other, what did he say always about the devil? Since then, I can always ask a pound or 2 pounds more for my course because of entertainment. So, Hosea, just through the seventh subject, does nothing special, you see, except just to develop the standpoint through the seven, but always in the same way. Now, I come to another point. When we read Hosea, somehow we are not very, very greatly interested in what these people 2,500 years ago had to deal with. After all, we live in a new age, with new problem, with new situation, and so on. So, what's the use of having these prophets? Well, now we come to the scientific aspect, or to the scientific law of Hosea. What we can see is that Hosea wasn't just showing a law. He was only illustrating a law. He had the insight of a scientific, eternal, timeless law, which he translated and illustrated, adapted to the situation in which he was, with King Jeroboam and with all the luxury there was and with all the unfaithfulness there was and with all the altars they were building. Well, we are not building many altars on hills and so on. But he was translating it to their need, and that is the right thing. But today, we have no more the same situation historically, outwardly, objectively. But he was only, what we read is only the illustration of a law which lies behind it. So, if we go to the law which is behind it, we can translate it to our age and so make these prophecies and the message of it adaptable today, practical for today. How do we do that? Well, through what I have already done, you see, is already to have built that bridge between the symbolism and the underlying law, by showing that what he was illustrating in the first subject as the creator, which brings forth three false children, and then the true creator, which brings forth the numberless true creation. He didn't say anything about creation. He didn't say anything about mind. But because we know the symbolism that they indicate creator, and that creator now indicates mind, we can enlarge that whole subject and say, all right, let's, the illustration of Hosea, go and put it into the vaster and more scientific language of the synonymous terms. Which means that we could state now that which Hosea stated, we could state it in the language of the synonyms. If we can do that, and that's what I was interested mostly in the last few years, with the textbook and with the Bible, to put the whole story into terms only of the synonyms, because then they are, first of all, practical for today, and they are greater. Because you can see quite easily, for instance, that the first subject, which was typically that God sowing that false sense of creation and the true sense of creation, creation is only one idea of mind. It isn't the whole of mind. We know that mind can be power and law and action and control, intelligence and so on. And therefore, under other circumstances, say if Hosea would be here today and would have to deal with the situation today, perhaps he wouldn't deal with, in the first subject, with the notion of creation. He perhaps would deal with the notion of power, of atomic power, and of true power. Or he would deal with, if he had to do with a schoolboy who has some difficulty in the school, he would deal with intelligence. He could present the very same standpoint, the very same story, you know, without altering the story, without altering the law. He could illustrate it differently, so that one would hardly recognize it. In other words, we can see that Hosea just took one illustration of a principled standpoint. Therefore, if we translate it right back to the terms of the synonyms, we could say I just try it now, don't take it too literally, we could say that Hosea's prophecy says, scientifically, in our language, he says, divine mind manifests itself always as ideas of mind. And everything which is from mortal mind is crushed. Spirit manifests itself always as ideas of spirit, and everything else starting from matter, from its opposite, is crushed. So manifests itself constantly, everlastingly, as the ideas of soul, as true, sinless identification of everything, and all other identification just falls to pieces. He would go on in his message and say, you know, principle always interprets itself to everybody, interpreting its principle into the heart of everybody, and all those personal standpoints, they just go flop. But say, life expresses, it manifests itself constantly to me and to the universe as abundance of life, as newness of life, as the ideas of life. And against that, every sense of of personal life, of egoistic life, just is doomed. Then you would go on and say, well, God is truth, and truth manifests itself constantly to the universe and to us as true manhood, establishing true manhood, saving true manhood, protecting true manhood, and against that every rebellion against the true manhood is just going flop. And in love he would say, well, love always has an idea and always manifests itself as the idea of love, therefore always as the idea of salvation, and against that all iniquity which is in the human mind just can't stand and is doomed. That's the story of Hosea, when he put it into the terms of synonyms. Now, what is difficult for you now to listen to it is this, that you don't know yet the other prophets, you see. That you think, well, that's very nice and so on. But the beauty of it you will only see as we go on, as we go to the next one. Then you will begin to realize that what Hosea did and how much he did and how much he did not do. How far he went and how far he did not go. Because the other prophets come along and build another stone to the system. So, my great joy about any prophet is only then when I feel now I have found the scientific law of the prophet. So the scientific prophet of the law is that which I can use today. I don't have to deal today with famine and with droughts. You say droughts, yes. And with the missing dew and the missing rain and so on, but I have to deal with the same claims, namely that God does not always manifest itself to me and the universe, that God is not always being that monopotency of God, good, which has now that's one, you see, now I come to A, which has the intention to bring out only the good and only the good and ever the good and not to let evil succeed. Have you ever had that feeling that this is true? Isn't it in the human mind? Now I come to the practice of this law. Isn't it in the human mind, in each one of us, that we go around from morning to evening, and perhaps here and there, perhaps more often or less often, mostly unconsciously, sometimes consciously, we just don't have the feeling that God is constantly manifesting itself and blessing the universe and me, and nothing else succeeds? Do we have that feeling? I wish I had it always. I wish I had it always. I don't have it because somehow the human mind says, well, I think God is asleep, or God is not working, or science doesn't work for me, or I don't know the truth yet, or I have an indefinite feeling that evil is lurking around the corner. I have an indefinite feeling that something can happen to me, or that the future cannot be so rosy as the past, or anything like that. Do we have those feelings? If we have, it is because we don't know the law of Hosea. Well, what can we do? That's just what is necessary, is that we become conscious of these laws. And not only that we become conscious of these laws, but that we begin to use them and train ourselves in them, be schooled into them, be recruited unto them, be in bonds unto them. That is, instead, that if I do, say, my daily work, or if I have a quiet moment and so on, I could once use these fundamental laws in order to establish more and more that Hosea says, you know, all that there is going on is the Christ coming to me and to you and to the universe. All that there is going on is that God is constantly translating itself to me and the universe. all that is going on morning, noon, and night is that God floods the universe and me with the ideas of God. And against that flood, nothing can succeed. I can be so happy and so quiet, nothing can succeed.